Welcome to the Morphin Grid, everybody. I'm Jake.
I'm Josh.
And today, we got another bonus episode for you. We are currently on hiatus, but we're doing some bobos to kind of keep you...
Keep us in your thoughts.
Yes, exactly. I was literally just about to say that, but I screwed up a little bit at the start.
Well, I gotcha.
I appreciate that. So, what are we talking about today, Josh?
We are talking about, I guess, what would happen if you took the fighting out of Power Rangers. Because we've talked about...
That sounds boring as stupid.
Well, no, we've talked about this. On how a lot of the episodes, we just want to see these kids live their lives. Right?
I would watch a cut, especially of the first season, probably the second and third seasons, of just unmorphed stuff. They'd be a lot shorter episodes. Some of them would be 45 seconds long.
Right.
But I would be very into that. There is specifically one show that is kind of like that already, or was.
I don't remember most of the characters' full names, so bear with me. I'm not even going to look it up. I think it's more endearing this way.
I'm going to look it up, and then I will correct you on things that you're wrong
okay.
on, but I will not give you the answer until you take a shot. Some clerical issues right out the gate. The show is called Salute Your Shorts.
Yes, maybe you've heard of it.
It was broadcast on Nickelodeon from July 4th, 1991 to June 29th, 1992. That sounds like it's only 1 year, because it is.
Right.
But there are two seasons of 13 episode seasons each, so 26 total episodes.
And then it ran in reruns for the next
500
years.
Yeah, because I was watching them well into the 90s.
Yeah.
Probably until at least, like...
And it's really weird, because when you think back, like, as a kid, you remember seeing the same episodes a lot. And it never bothered me.
It never connected. You just keep seeing them. It's because there's only so many.
And that was fine. And it come to find out now, rewatching it, similarly to the way we do with Power Rangers 28 years later.
Yeah.
Except we don't do a podcast about it. We just watch it. It holds up. The episodes are real good. That's why I didn't care that I had to see them a lot.
It ran in syndication until 1999. Why not just make a couple more seasons?
I don't know.
If you're going to re-air it a lot, especially during the summer, especially during the summer, for another 7 years, why didn't you think it'd be a good idea to make more? It was based on a book from 1986 called Salute Your Shorts, Life at Summer Camp. So I want to check that out.
Yeah.
That sounds like it would be pretty cool. I'm
Christmas
kinda,
list year that comes.
Yeah, I'm kind of into like stories that take place in summer camps right now. It's a weird, very specific thing, but
there's a lot of it.
There's a lot of it. There's a comic called Lumberjanes, which is coming out right now. If you have not checked out Lumberjanes. If you haven't looked at Lumberjanes, because it doesn't exist, if you have, send me a link, because Lumberjanes, it's awesome. It's basically Buffy plus Gravity Falls in a summer camp. It's about five girls who are at a summer camp where a lot of weird stuff is happening. There's that. There's Camp Dakota, which is a movie that came out in February, which is really good. There's this. I'm sure there's other stuff.
Friday to the 13th series of movies.
I just think it's a really good setting for for stories, because it's like there's so much going on there.
Yeah.
And there's so many rules, and there's a lot of different things you can do.
And the kids to adult ratio is in the favor of the younger age bracket. Like, that's what summer camp is. It's a bunch of kids with a few adults.
Camp Dakota is told from the other side. It's from the older ones, where it's a little bit of it is... She, like, the mainest of the main characters is new. And so, like, part of it is there's not enough help. There's too many kids. And, like, she doesn't want to be there because, like, she just went through a lot of stuff in her life. And the only reason she's there is because there's no boys there. There's no men at Camp Dakota because it's an all-girls camp. And that's what she needed at that moment. There's a lot of different ways to tell it. A lot of things you can do with it. It's isolated. So you can have anything happen there.
It's usually in the woods.
Yeah.
And so, like, you got trails and, like, ghost stories.
Right.
And
you got a lake. You got to have a lake.
Always a lake. Every summer camp has a lake.
Why build one without a lake? What are you going to swim
What's
in?
Even the point?
Yeah.
You make a pool? It's not the same.
No, that's gross.
You don't get yucky toes in a pool?
No. You can't learn how to fight yucky toes in a pool. Anyway, salute your shorts, though.
Yeah, remember that show that we were talking about?
We were talking about 45, 50 minutes ago. There's a thing in it that we noticed while we were watching it, because I don't know if we talked about it. We must have talked about it.
I don't remember how we came to this conclusion. We watched like 3 or 4 episodes, right?
Yeah.
And then suddenly I was like, this is Power Rangers without the morphing and the fighting.
Yeah. We're watching it, and you just said, I think it's because Tully Radford's the baddest dude in the Revere.
I think what happened is I noticed all the archetypes of the characters.
Yeah.
They were basically the same, save Budnick.
Yeah. Who kind of fits in a way.
He still works for where we put him.
Yeah, so...
Which is probably obvious, but we'll talk about that when
we'll talk about that in a second. The thing that that I really like is that it's Power Rangers without being morphed, but it's 100% different from the unmorphed stuff. It works the same way because like these types of characters interact in a way that's really good, especially when they're near each other the whole time, you know? Like they have reasons for doing anything that they do.
Yeah.
It's not just like in Power Rangers where it's like,
and like
there's a snow monster, there's a snowstorm in California now.
They're definitely not as well adjusted teenagers as the Power Rangers
are.
Yeah,
they have actual attitude.
They have definite character flaws.
Yeah. So we're gonna go through and we're gonna say which character Power Ranger archetype. It's the same thing we did with the NXT bonus.
There's one I don't remember what we ended up doing.
Well, I have a list right here.
Okay.
So,
and I don't think we had villains.
No.
I know at some point there's like a rival camp.
Yeah.
But like, whatever.
So what we're going to do is we're going to say who's...
But if you take out the morphing and the fighting, you take out the villains.
In a way, you can still... Because they still have antagonists and things that they need to overcome even in their unmorphed stuff. So we'll go over each character, which ranger they are, or which character they translate to. Because there's other than just the rangers. And then we'll do like what we would do if we were to expand it and kind of take it in that direction.
Okay.
I guess. Cause
I have one other thing I want to do at the end.
And you're going to keep it a secret, aren't you?
I'm going to keep it a secret.
All right, you rascal, you. Okay, so let's start at the top. Who's the Red Ranger?
The Red Ranger is Budnick.
Okay. Why?
It's hard to explain because he seems like the villain, right? He seems like...
He's a jerk.
He's a jerk, he's a bully, but... A lot of the times, he's the one that brings everybody together.
Yeah.
Even if it's a roundabout, kind of underhanded way.
Yes, that's exactly my reasoning.
He keeps everybody together.
He's
as a
the
group.
Glue. And he's also, like, if the story is kids versus the establishment, which it is a lot of the time.
Right.
Instead of having villains, you have the establishment. And this kind of works for our Zordon analog, too. The person who is most likely to go, no, this is not okay... That's got to be your Red Ranger.
That's Budnick.
Every day. Yeah. All the time. No matter what.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, he's a ginger, so he's always wearing red.
He's always got red.
Who is the Black Ranger?
The Black Ranger is Donkey Lips.
Donkey Lips.
I don't know his actual name.
Whose real name is Eddie C. Gelfin.
I had Eddie right.
Played by Michael Bauer. Budnick is played by... Where the heck is he on this list? His name is Budnick, but that's his last name, right? And so I was looking...
Yes, that's his... I can't remember his first name.
Is Robert Bobby Budnick. So I was seeing Bobby in the quotes, and I was thinking, oh, that's some other character. Because Budnick is on the next line down. Budnick is played by Danny Cooksey, who did a lot of voiceover work after this. He was Jack Spicer in Shaolin Showdown, which I like marked out about.
He's definitely in at least an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yep. He was in a lot of stuff. I know we looked at it recently. He still does voice work.
He's in like a lot of stuff that I don't remember him being into.
Yeah.
I remember from when we looked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, he's been busy.
So Donkey Lips. Why is Donkey Lips the Black Ranger?
Because he's so good at dancing. Well, no, because he's your Red Ranger's best friend, right?
Yep.
And he's your tank. He's your heavy hitter.
Right.
He's also kind of your comic relief, which Zach... kind of is.
Yeah,
if
Zach
we're going
is,
by that.
Zach is, I wouldn't say comic relief, I would say funny guy, but
right.
in this world they're one and the same.
Yeah.
Kind of. He's not particularly like funny, but he is comic relief.
Right.
And so I agree with that.
That's all I got.
That's all you got. That's all I have on on that. I do like that he's the butt of every single joke,
right?
That specifically Budnick can make, but still his best friend.
They're a little bit like an inverted Bulk and Skull too.
A little bit, yeah. If there were two other characters that could have taken this spot, they would 100% be inverted Bulk and Skull,
right?
So next, we're gonna do my favorite character in the world. Oh, salute your shorts. Who? Who is the Yellow Ranger?
The Yelly Ranger is Tello Radford. The Yellow Ranger is Telly Radford.
Telly Radford. Telly.
Yeah, that caught me off guard when I looked it up earlier.
Because everyone says it kind of like they're from Boston. Tully.
Go down the Mount Tully Kennel. That's where you get all your pets in Athol. Yeah, anyway.
There's some weird specific local geography. Yeah, Tully Radford, I'm still going to call her Tully. I know it's Telly now. It's going to be Telly forever. Is the baddest dude in Revere.
She is.
She is 100% Trini in that she will beat you up. Like, if there was like a 5-on-5 fight with our 5 Rangers and 5 others.
Sure.
She would beat up hers before anyone else could do anything and help everyone else beat theirs up.
Yeah.
And because Doggy Lips is the tank. I wouldn't call him the heavy hitter unless it's because if he does connect, it will be a heavy hit. But like,
right.
He's mostly your tank. He's your cleanup guy.
Right. Telly's your muscle.
Yeah. That's who you send out first when you want problems to be solved.
Right.
She's also like, she's super into sports and like,
yeah, she has like that tomboy element that some Yellow Rangers have.
Yeah.
But like Trini doesn't. Ashley doesn't.
Well, that's because
Ashley and Cassie are inverted.
Are inverted, yeah. But like Trini kind of does, but it's more subtle.
Right.
Like because it's meant to contrast to the Pink Ranger, but doesn't as much because they're all kind of similar people.
Yeah.
Like they all takes them a minute to really grow, but right out the bat, she is different from who we will have the Pink Ranger be. Why don't we talk about the Pink Ranger, unless you have anything else about Telly.
The only thing, because I said that like they all have definite character flaws, and we didn't talk about any of those. What we talked about Budnick's is that he's definitely keeping everybody together, but he's really underhanded and kind of sneaky
about
it.
He's a jerk, and he's sneaky.
And the Donkey Lips is kind of just a follower.
Yeah, he's a follower. He's really cowardly,
too. And Telly is super competitive.
Yes.
Every single thing she does, she's out to win.
One of the episodes we watched, she made like a Godfather type deal for a
tennis racket to beat this kid.
To beat this dude from another camp.
to beat the Buster of the Week, this tennis playing kid from the other camp.
It's perfect. So let's go to the Pink Ranger.
Dana?
Dina. Yes.
Yeah.
You're 4 for 4.
I don't know her last name. I only know what the one name for everybody.
I'm finding out their names right now, except for Telly Radford. Because
That's such a 90s coolest name.
Anyway, Pink Ranger is Dina.
She's super girly. She comes from money, but I don't think they ever actually just come out and say she comes from money. They might.
Very thinly veiled.
We've only seen a few episodes. So she's like your spoiled girly girl.
Yeah, she does not want to be there.
No.
Which, kind of like Kimberly in the beginning, who was like, ugh, no, my hair.
Right.
Yeah, she's not into the outdoors. She just wants to, like, I don't know. She doesn't want to be at camp. But her parents are probably forcing her to because they're holidaying in Switzerland or whatever.
Her big flaw is that she's super spoiled and bratty.
Yeah.
She can kind of be manipulative to get out of doing things.
Oh, absolutely. Especially to who will be the Blue Ranger. And Donkey Lips, too. Budnick never really falls for it unless she gets, like, really reverse psychological about it.
Yeah, she's gonna really try to trick Budnick.
Yeah, because Budnick also, like, he's sort of like the guy who can get you things.
Yeah.
So, like, he has
that whole episode with the tennis racket is basically them establishing that.
Yeah.
Or revisiting it, depending on where it falls. I don't know.
Yeah, because, like,
we just watched it on random.
I've seen probably every episode. I didn't love it when I was a kid, but now it's real good.
I did. I liked it when I was a kid. I like it more now.
Yeah, it holds up real well. I think that we got to figure out a better term for holds up, because I think this goes farther than holds up. I think this is...
So if you guys can think of a better term for holds up, each and every one of you needs to email us.
Yes.
That was an in-joke for us.
Who's the Blue Ranger then?
It's Sponge.
Yep. Eugene Sponge Harris.
Because he's a smart guy.
He's a smart guy. He's Billy.
He's definitely Billy. His character flaw is basically the same as Billy's, in that he hates confrontation.
He hates confrontation. He's too smart by half. He's like, right. You know, he overthinks things a lot too, which Billy doesn't really do. Billy just thinks
no,
things.
No, Billy thinks things exactly how they need to be thunk. Thought? Thunk? Thinked?
Thank.
Thunk.
Thunkin'.
I'm going with thunk.
Official Morphin Group canon. It's thunk. And, but yeah, but Sponge will, like, go way past where he needs to.
Yeah.
Instead
of, like, evaluating a situation and coming to the easiest conclusion,
he'll make it
Sponge
super complicated.
Super overcomplicated.
Yeah. So those are our five rangers.
He's called Sponge because if you get him in a headlock and squeeze his head, information just comes out.
Is that real?
That's from an episode. I think it might be from the first episode.
That's great. Budnick probably said that.
He did. He had him in headlock. And yeah. He did.
So those are our five Rangers. Who is our Zordon?
It's an either or, I think. When we talked about this, I don't remember where we ended up. I think Zordon is probably Dr. Khan and Ugg.
Yes. Dr. Khan, for those of you unfamiliar, is
a disembodied voice that we only hear over the loudspeaker.
He basically gives announcements and sometimes like reassuring affirmation phrases.
And sometimes like at the end of an episode, maybe during the credits, like he'll just kind of like run down the moral of the story, I guess.
He would be a good choice for Zordon.
The problem is he never gives direction.
You never see him.
He never interacts with anybody. So that's why Ugg is there.
Whereas Kevin Ugg Lee, which is great,
is the only counselor at this camp.
I'm sure there are others. I'm sure if we would have gotten a third season, we might have seen some others. Because that park ranger in one episode.
His girlfriend, whose name I don't remember. Yeah.
They're
real mushy.
Mona.
Mona.
Mona Tibbs.
Hey, Mona. That's not a real song. I just don't know why I did that.
Well, neither do I. Yeah, he works really well for the Zordon character because sometimes he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
And Zordon is sometimes the bad guy. So I think the...
The difference is that Ugg is actually looking out for the best interests of these kids. Zordon is just a bad guy
sometimes. Zordon tries to kill them sometimes without being very coy about it. Ugg, even when he's the bad guy of the episode, it's always because he's looking out for their safety or he doesn't want them to get in trouble, or he doesn't want to get them in trouble because he's not like old. He's probably like, the character might be like 25, 26. He looks like he's older than me.
Ugg looks like he's probably 30.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's him or if he's playing younger or playing older or what, but like. I feel like he remembers what it's like to be a kid at summer camp.
And sure.
So he's like, I know you're going to want to do these things that you're not allowed to do because that's the funnest thing in the world. But if you do that, you'll get in trouble, and I don't want you to get in trouble.
Right.
So I think there's a line that he's walking that is super interesting, and I think
and
that's
when,
why
when
he
when I
works.
Was a kid watching this, he was just the bad guy.
Yeah, and then you watch it this time. It's because he gets out of, like, overwhelmed. He just goes straight to, like, camp counselor mode, where he's like, everybody in their cabins, you know, you're running laps, you're doing this thing, you know.
And he's, like, kind of super into himself, like, whenever he's not being a counselor, like, there's scenes of him sunbathing.
Like, just tanning, yeah. he's kind of dumb.
He's definitely kind of dumb.
But I don't know, I really like the character. Like I said, now, it's very different looking at it from a pair of eyes that are no longer 5 years old.
Right.
That are, in fact, 25 years old and are kind of sympathetic towards him trying to run this gaggle of children.
I was around 7 or 8.
Well,
so
I'm sorry, old man.
I viewed it exactly the same way.
You were already a mature 8-year-old. So Who is our alpha then? If we got ZZ
a million times.
Yes, she is.
She is a robot, not in like an emotionless way, but in a way that doesn't understand how to be a human.
She was programmed the opposite of humans.
Yeah,
and because she's also
smart, but she's real weird about how smart she is. She's smart about weird stuff.
Yeah, and she's clearly from a hippie family.
Oh yeah,
she's a lot like Luna Lovegood from the Harry Potter series.
Yes,
which I am reading through again, and so like I'm getting a lot of Luna stuff that I didn't catch my last read through or from watching the movies or anything. And thinking about it right now, ZZ's a lot like Luna.
She's like real flighty.
Yeah,
but also.
But you'll say like, what she
almost
needs
on
to say.
Purpose.
Yeah.
Because there's that one scene where Ugg and Mona are fighting. I don't remember why, but she like.
Over her job. It's over Mona's job, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
And ZZ is just starts like breaking stuff to make the point to Ugg. I don't remember what the point was.
Oh, it was like. Oh, but, yeah, when she's like, give me that plate. And he's like, okay, here. And she just slammed it on the ground.
Yeah.
And I forget what it was, but it really made sense. Well,
because I remember now. Mona, like, cited him for something, and he got mad, so they were fighting.
Right.
Because, like, he needed to fix something about the park, and, like, you're my girlfriend, so, like, can't you let it slide? And she was like, well, no. So ZZ started breaking these dishes, just, like, went to visit Ugg and was, like, talking to him. And she's like, hey, can you give me that? And just, like, breaking these. So Ugg didn't want to because he likes ZZ, but he punished her.
Yeah.
And then she was like, well, now you're just doing your job. Why can't Mona just do her job? And, like, solve the problem?
That was, yes.
I got goosebumps just talking about that right
man.
Now.
Oh, man. You want to watch that, some of that today?
Yep.
We have all of it. We'll talk about where you can find it at the end of the show.
At the end, we'll throw a
shout
out.
So, there's a sixth ranger.
There's two.
There's a green and a white ranger. Can you remember who came first?
Mike is first.
You're absolutely right. Michael Stein, who came in later in the season.
I don't know if he came in later, but he's definitely the new kid at camp.
So, like, they've been going for
years. He may have just arrived on the first episode, but, like, that's not the first day of camp, I don't think.
No. That makes sense. So he's your Green Ranger because he's sort of the anti-Butnik.
Yeah,
he is.
He said Butnik.
I did,
which is what they call
that's
him.
That's what they
when
call
making
him.
Fun of him.
Because look, I just want to be Telly Radford so bad. I don't think you understand. Yeah, he's the anti-Butnik. He's
like
kind of flirty with Dina.
Oh, definitely. Everyone's kind of flirty with Dina.
Look,
8-year-old me was all kinds of.
25-year-old me was like, man, if I didn't know for a fact that she was like a 12-year-old,
right?
Man.
That's why I haven't been talking about it. She was 14,
right.
It's still weird to talk about how pretty she is
today. She is our age,
right?
So it's like a weird
and
gray area.
She's still real pretty.
Yeah, she has not. They did like a reunion show.
Yeah,
and Venus De Milo, which is Telly Radford's real name. Which is an amazing name for a person to be.
Yeah.
She couldn't make it, so she had like a video message that she played. Dina's actress, who was Heidi Lucas, nothing.
She's not there?
Absolutely nothing. Won't talk about it. Being a little Amy Jo Johnson about it.
That's why she's a Pink Ranger.
Yeah. Amy Jo Johnson until the last couple years, because she's really come
she's
around.
She's like into it. Now, she's doing some kind of like, not Kickstarter, but like Indiegogo or some other
thing. She does a lot of Indiegogos for her movies.
One of the perks is just like, come to New York and have a pizza party. We'll watch Power Rangers.
Why am I not heard about this?
She just posted it on Facebook the other day.
On Facebook, I'm going to see what that tier is probably like $1,000.
Probably.
I don't have that. As much as I want to have a pizza party with Amy Jo Johnson, watch Power Rangers, because I would bring all this. Sorry. That will be beeped out. I will bring all of this stuff and I'll do an episode of I'll just interview her and that'll be a Bobo episode.
Yeah. I don't know. I imagine Heidi Lucas probably gets a lot of the same stuff that Amy Jo Johnson used to and probably still gets.
Probably yeah.
Cuz like people who are too into things are real
get
weird
about it, especially the women. It's so weird.
Like look, I have eyes. I see that she's real pretty.
Right, but like, you don't have to throw that at her, you know? Like, there's this whole thing going on. It's called Gamergate.
I can't even talk about it.
Mess of a bunch of neckbeards who hate women trying to disguise it as journalism, as journalism ethics or something like that. It makes zero sense to me.
It makes none.
But those are the same people who go up to Amy Jo Johnson and are like, you know, just weird.
They were creeps. They're slime balls. Creeps.
Just stop it. Just leave them alone.
They're people.
They're just a human. Like, just a regular human person. Oh, anyway, enough about that. Who's our White Ranger? Do you remember his name?
Pinsky?
That's his last name.
That's all I remember. I think that's what they call him.
Ronnie Foster Pinsky.
Not a fan of the Pinkster.
No.
I haven't seen it. I haven't really seen any of it, but yeah, he's...
I don't even remember...
He's definitely also an anti-Budnick, but... Also kind of slimy, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, he's like a male Dina a little bit, yeah. If I'm remembering correctly, because I don't remember a lot about him. But I think one of the episodes we watched, he was in.
We watched
one with Michael, and one with him, I think. Because we've seen like 4 or 5 in recent weeks. I don't know. I just remember him being like stuck up. And like just snotty about being there,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. But he's your White Ranger or your second Sixth Ranger because he's the new kid after the old new kid leaves.
Yeah,
because they wrote him out of the show. He got chicken pox and had to go.
Really?
Yeah.
That could be an epidemic at camp. That would be a good episode. Everyone gets chicken pox. It would sweep through that place, especially in the 90s when no one was vaccinated. My little brother never had chicken pox. I had the hell out of chicken pox.
I had chicken pox bad. It was like in my mouth.
I don't know if I had them in my mouth. I have pock marks all over me.
I got scars on my butt, on my forehead.
I got two on my nose and one on my temple just from being like, ah, this, get it off. So that's it. Those are our characters. Now, I want to talk about what we would do as far as the Monster of the Week type shows, because I know everyone's like, there's a problem, we need to fix it.
Right.
We solve it using teamwork, usually. So if there was, I know there's a rival school at some point, because that's where that tennis kid comes from, I imagine.
Yeah, it's a camp, not a school, but.
You know what I mean? That would be a really good way to do it, is just to have, like, constantly have, like, inter-school things, inter-camp things.
Yeah.
Or just, like, have them just, like, invade, just have them like prank wars. A prank war season would be a baller.
That might be an episode. I don't remember.
Maybe we could stretch that to a whole season.
Or maybe they just talk about the other camp and very rarely touch upon it, like as a thing. Like that tennis kid coming over,
right?
Like, that might not be a thing that happens often. Or they play a bigger role later on. I don't remember.
But that's a good way to introduce a Monster of the Week setup.
The second episode is a ghost story about Zeke the Plumber.
Okay.
Who's like he's that camp's ghost story. He got his nose like pecked off in Vietnam by a crow or a vulture or something. So he's got like a real ugly face with like a bloody bandage over his nose. Ugh. And he'll suck your face off with a plunger.
That's a good ghost story.
Yeah.
That's a good...
It's a creepy episode.
So they'd have to fight him if they were... Yeah. You know, like... Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff you could do. You had something that you wanted to say. You kept secret from me.
Is that where we're going?
That's where we're going.
What I have to say is a different thing. So if you want to keep talking about this, we should keep doing that for a minute.
I got nothing else on
this. I don't
this.
Really know, because like, it's already a show.
It's already a show. And
I don't know how it ends, so I don't know how to pick it up.
But like the cool thing is, like Power Rangers, once they're not school, once they're not camp age anymore, boom, you got a new set. Got a new set right there.
Reboot.
Now you got Salute Your Shorts Zeo. Salute Your Shorts Turbo. Salute Your Shorts in Space.
Salute Your Shorts in Space.
It's space.
So what I was gonna say is, Salute Your Shorts. You take the fighting out of Power Rangers, you get Salute Your Shorts,
right?
But then where does the fighting go?
I know exactly where the fighting goes. The fighting goes to a little show called WMAC Masters.
Yeah,
which aired from like 1993 to 1995. So it took a little bit,
right?
But then it went just real quick because we're going a little longer than I want this bonus to go. WMC Masters is bananas.
It's crazy.
It is completely bonkers. The setup is there is a tournament. Or not a tournament.
It's like a league.
An ongoing.
There's a martial arts league.
Yeah. Which is the WMAC Masters.
Right. The World Martial Arts Council.
And then Masters.
Is what WMAC stands for.
And the Masters are each masters of the fighters.
Fight.
So each of them has like a different style, a different signature look. And like they all have a nickname.
Mm-hmm.
Like
which is like their key symbol is what they call it.
Also, you spelt it wrong. It's K-I. It's like...
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not like key, like it's dorky.
Not like an unlock thing. It's like
key
a
key as in like energy. Internal energy. Yeah. Okay.
A valid mistake. I had to read it on the wiki. Yeah, they each have a different key symbol. The newest guy is Tsunami, so his is like a tsunami wave with a fist.
It curls into a fist.
There's Red Dragon. These are all real people, too.
It's their real names. I can't remember any of them off the top of my head.
Akeem is is the Machine, who's the coolest guy.
Yeah, I'm a mark for the Machine. Yeah, he's my guy.
There's Superstar, who is Something Pack, and Star-Lord, or Star-Warrior.
I think it's Star Warrior.
Warrior.
I'm not sure.
He's also his last name is Pack too, because Pack means star. So like their name is kind of what their first part of their name is, which is neat.
The whole first episode is explaining most of their names.
Essentially.
We don't know how Warlock became Warlock because he just shows up.
He just shows up. The weird thing about the show is it just starts as if it's been going for years.
Here's the premise of the show, right? You start out in the WMAC everyone starts out as a ninja.
Yeah.
So the premise is you start out as a ninja, eventually you work up, you get promoted to a master, which is what happened with Tsunami. He's a rookie. You get a belt. You get a dragon belt.
It's got a...
Every master has a dragon belt, and it has 10 empty holes around the waist.
Imagine if the WWE Championship was a diamond, but had a star in an eight-pointed star in the middle,
mm-hmm.
the center of which was a curling dragon.
Of course.
And then the sides were five... slots for your opponent's key symbols. When you beat them, you add that to your belt.
That's
awesome. When your belt is full, you cash it in.
That's so cool.
That is so cool.
I play Fire Pro Wrestling Returns a lot.
Sure.
And I'm running a league on kind of those rules right now.
That's pretty cool. I like that. We start out with Turbo being the WMAC master. Some people have nine to their credit.
The first episode, I think the highest is 8.
Yeah, Akeem and...
Because Superstar ends this episode, he wins and gets his 9th.
Is that the first episode? I thought the Machine got the last one.
No, he loses to Superstar in the Dome.
In the Dome?
Mm-hmm. Because it's Superstar and Machine in the final. And Superstar gets his 9th.
I thought Machine won. Symbol. Anyway, it just starts it's been going for years.
It talks to you like you know everything that's going
on. Right, which is a weird way to do things, but also kind of genius because it makes everyone just as confused so you're all on the same page.
And then like 3 or 4, maybe 5 episodes in, like you find out about the women's division.
Yeah, which has 3 women in it.
But they only show women's matches in like a highlight reel.
Yeah, which is
so
really dumb.
It's like there's another show, but there's not.
Right, it's like Thunder. It's like, you know...
This is what happened on WMAC Saturday night.
Yeah, it's really, really bizarre. There's an episode where it's focused on... Because each of the first couple of... We watched 5 episodes, I think.
I think so.
And each of the first episodes are kind of focused on one person or a couple people. And there's one where Red Dragon is just talking about this time he met a girl on a beach. And he daydreamed about her, and she was at NASA because it was filmed in Orlando.
Yeah. They even say in the show that WMAC Arena is in Orlando, Florida.
It's filmed
at Universal Studios.
Yeah. So there, he was at Cape Canaveral, which is like an hour and a half from Orlando. Or maybe it's like in Orlando. I don't really remember, even though I lived there for 2 years. So like he's there, and there's a beach, and there's a girl, and a NASA. You know, I call her Space Babe. She's just she's jogging down the street. Or down the beach, and like his daydream turns her, so all of a sudden she's wearing a spacesuit, and then he lifts it up to kiss her.
He takes the helmet off, and the Machine is just there.
And like he wakes up from his daydream, and I'm like, what is happening on my martial arts show right now?
Anyway, we don't want to talk about it too much, because Jake has a thing he wants to do with it, so we'll kind of let it go. But that, basically, the fight scenes are all of the putty fights from Power Rangers. They just take those. But then, like, what if the Power Rangers fought each other at the end of the putty fight?
Yeah, and it's...
Because each arena has its own unique brand of ninja in it.
Its own unique ninjas, its own, like, setup and obstacles and traps and other kinds of things that can, like, hurt you. And there's, like, weird energy bars on the side. It's bonkers. But this is the opposite show of Salute Your Shorts. This is like, if you multiply these together, you get Power Rangers.
It's basically Power Rangers.
I could do a doctoral thesis on this because they have the same amount of episodes. There's not a ton of WMAC Masters.
I think there's also two seasons at 26 episodes total.
Perfect.
So it's a little intentional. I think they knew what they were doing.
They knew what they were doing. So anyway, that's the bonus episode on Salute Your Shorts. It went a little longer than I intended, but hey, that's going to happen around here. That's practically our motto.
That's what we do.
Mark Henry.
John Henry.
MorphinGrid.tumblr.com is our website. You can email us at MorphinGrid, littleneeds.MorphinGrid@gmail.com. It's been a while since I've said it, so I kind of forgot. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/TheMorphinGrid. And most importantly, we're on iTunes. If you want to leave us a rating and review, the higher reviews we get, more featured, et cetera, et cetera. We feel better about ourselves. You feel better because you did a good job. Everybody goes home happy.
If you want to check out Salute Your Shorts, the website is nickreboot.com.
Yep.
If you just go there... I think we've talked about this before, but
at least once, yeah.
If you just go there, you can watch a stream. They will randomly play shows out of the library.
Yeah, you can follow NR Playlist at NR Playlist on Twitter, and that'll give you the ones on now, what's next, and what's after.
Yeah,
that.
So if you want to relive old Nickelodeon and the TV Guide channel, hit them up on Twitter. Go to the website.
That's pretty much the TV Guide for it. It's really a weird. It's kind of a social experiment, but it's amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, then but you can pay $36. To get a full year of on-demand Nick Reboot, which
adds a ton of other shows.
There's a ton of stuff on there. There's like you can just watch blocks of SNICK from the early 90s.
Yeah, if somebody had a whole SNICK block on a VHS tape, they send it in and it's up there.
Yeah, and if you do, please send it in.
Yeah, figure out what they need you to do.
Care of the Morphin Grid, or you can email us and you can send it to us. And then we'll send it in. We'll figure that out for you. It's amazing. It's the best website. And you get every episode of Salute Your Shorts. There's also Space Cases. There's Mr. Father Shelby Woo. There's Rugrats. There's SpongeBob. There's a lot of game shows like Legends of Hidden Temple, which is my current obsession. There is...
Yeah. Check that stuff out.
Oh, yeah. Especially the third or fourth episode that's on there. I forget what they were going for because I never got it.
It was...
Was that the John Henry episode?
It was a John Henry! just watch Kirk Fogg be a dork and kids be terrible at mazes.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. So anyway, thank you for listening to this bonus episode of The Morphin Grid. We will be back in 2 weeks now? 3 weeks.
We'll be back sometime.
We'll be back really soon with new episodes from season 2. We got two more bonus episodes. Oh, last thing I want to talk about. The next bonus episode we're recording, this is going up on a Monday. This Thursday we are recording an award show. I haven't determined if it's going to be a top five or if it's going to be a...
Like a categorized...
Here's the categories.
With nominees. Let's do that.
I don't know if I want to do nominees specifically,
do nominees.
If we just get categories...
Right. And then we'll just talk about it.
And we'll just say who we think the best one is and we'll kind of determine who the winner is. Email us. Tweet us. Go on to Reddit. There is a thing in the Power Rangers Red that just says Power Rangers Award Show that I already posted up. so, yeah, it's going to be one or the other. Please send in your suggestions for categories because we're dumb guys.
We're dumb guys. I literally, like, I know one of the categories I want, but I can't really think of any examples. I'm probably going to have to go back and rewatch a few.
Yeah, I am looking. I just look at the episode lists and go like, "Oh, this reminds me of these things that happened."
Yeah.
So we're doing that next Thursday. So please, 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 if you have any ideas, send them in. Thank you very much for listening. And until next time,
may the power protect you.
So yeah, Lumber James, I said it again.